Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the British Tech Network's Mac Show. I am your substitute host this week. My name is Kelly Gaumont, and you will notice that, unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, depending, this week we have 100% less Ewan. So let's go around our slightly revised panel, and we'll get going with the news. Gentlemen?
Which way around are we going?
Let's start with the red background and work clockwise.
I'm Jonah Max, at Jonah Max on Twitter. I'm producing the show today.
And thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Producer Next. Joe. And I am our substitute, Dr. Happy Mac. Dr. Happy Mac. Well, hopefully I shall make as much sense as the original. I'll give it a go.
I'm glad to know you're being understudied as well.
Okay, and I'm not Don McAllister. And that's still a better impression than Will Green does. I'm not Dr. McAllister. Okay, no, it's Alex G. Fox from Twitter. And we're doing it the program the wrong way around, aren't we? We normally say who we are at the end. Okay, so if anything goes wrong, I am Don McAllister. And if it's very good, I'm Alex G. Fox. Thank you for having me.
And if anything rude slips out, I'm Will Green.
There we go. I like that we can just blame them for all this. So, I really wish that we had something to talk about today. Don't you guys? Wouldn't it be awesome if Apple had done, you know, anything interesting this week that we could discuss?
Yeah, I mean, I know they've sort of been superseded by Microsoft today.
But, that's been the big news, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think Samsung did something as well. I don't know. I do understand that they had a little bit of ado, as they say, somewhere in a place called America. And they launched some bits and pieces, some of which are very pretty and probably work quite well as well. I think the main thing, is the shrunken down iPad.
Finally here.
They're finally caught up with the Nexus 7.
Yeah, so we were looking at the event, following it through, and obviously we were waiting for the iPad to arrive at that point, and everyone was ready for it, and we all had an idea on what we were going to get, and I think we probably got, in terms of a machine, almost exactly what everyone was expecting. The only thing that I found surprising about it was the price, but then thinking back, I probably didn't find that surprising either.
Yeah, I mean, they are, you know, in a funny way, if Apple did price it in the same sort of point in the market as all the other 7 inches, it may have demeaned Apple's, I don't know what you'd call it. There is a premium, and, you know, part of the thing is you need to keep your premium up, otherwise you just become run-of-the-mill. So to feel slightly special, you need to pay slightly more. And I think in that respect, it's not really much of a surprise. The biggest surprise, to be honest, is the fact that in that whole, you know, the whole shebang, everything they released there was nothing at all in there that I didn't know 2 days before. I mean, not even the new iMac with, as Mr. Dr. Surgeon Happy Mac said previously, with the pear-shaped back. I mean, you described that machine absolutely perfectly as if you'd been working on it. So, no, it's just really strange because I would have said a year ago, if we'd got anything even vaguely close to a correct leak, we'd all been going, wow, that's amazing. Someone's finally got something out of the Apple campus. And now it's almost as if their keynote or whatever, their launch, is just a clarification of things that we already knew. And that's a very, very strange change in circumstance. And I wonder if this sort of quick renewal of, say, the new iPad and various things like that. I wonder if the quick renewal of things is because if they can no longer keep the lid on what they're doing. So, I mean, the old days, they could have kept that iPad for another 6 months or 9 months if they wanted. And we would have been none the wiser. But now, the moment they sort of even have an idea, it seems to be on our desktops on some leak somewhere that, you know, we know before it ever happens. So it's a very, very strange change of circumstance, the way things are working.
Well, it seems like the 4 did surprise a lot of people, has been my overall impression this week. That the iPad 4, for lack of a better term, is updated with the new innards and the lightning connector. And it seemed like that surprised a lot of people. Not because they introduced a new full-sized unit, but more that it was a new unit and not the old unit with lightning instead of a 30-pin connector. What do you guys think? Dr. Happy Mac?
Yeah, I think that people were kind of expecting that there might be a slight update with the lightning connector, and that would be it as the only change, because obviously they're keen to roll this thing out as fast as they can. But yeah, just doubling up the speed of the processor, you know, sticking the A6X in it was a bit of a left-field pull there. I wasn't aware that the new iPad, which is now confusing because the iPad 4 is newer than the new iPad, which is how we refer to the old iPad.
Right.
So, it's just
the old new iPad.
It's just the iPad with Retina display now.
Yeah.
Well, I was at New College, Oxford, and that was built in the 13th century. So work that one out.
Yeah. There was an older college, wasn't there? But yeah, I think that was the new iPad regarded as too slow? I mean, people immediately, everyone was thinking, was going, thank God they've put this new chip in the Retina iPad because now it's got the speed it deserves. But I thought people were pretty okay with the speed before, weren't they?
I think it's speed. I think it's the connector. I think everything about it is, I think iPhone 5 sales have not been as good as they'd hoped for because of people are saying, I don't want to change my connector while I'm still using, I don't know, the new iPad. And I think that's exactly what it is. Now the people that are holding off for an iPhone 6, if you like, because they didn't want to be running two different connections, have got the option to say, oh, okay, I can get a 5 now because I can also update my iPad. I think it's sort of two birds with one stone. I mean, me personally, and I don't want to be too raging about this, 15 days before they launched the new iPad, I bought a new iPad. Mm-hmm. And the return is 14 days.
30 days if they release new products.
Now, I spoke to Apple about this on the grounds of, some people sent me some stuff saying, I know you'll be going crazy right now. Here's some stuff to make you happy. And I spoke to Apple. I spoke to someone quite important at Apple. And they said, until it says it actually on the Apple website, we will not be honoring this. Well, they said 28 days. The newspapers have been saying 30 days. But I was told they won't honor it until it actually says it on Apple.com. So wow. I've been checking Apple.com. And so far, there is nothing. They will probably put that up on the 29th day now, in my luck. But I'm not amazingly bothered, to be honest. But I'm not likely to buy another iPad for a few years. So if it's got to last me a couple of years, it might as well be twice the speed as it is now. That's my theory. Sure. Anyway. And if they don't give it to me, then they don't give it to me. But as a photographer, the only use I've got for an iPad is photos. And I'm not as a viewer. Sometimes it would be really handy to be able to do some manipulation. And my files are very large, 50 megabyte files. So the double the power really would make a difference. But, you know, it's what it is. I think the camera is meant to be the improved, crystallized lens that they've got in the iPhone 5 as well, and that, I mean, not that I'd use it for anything worth using, but it would be nice if you've got a camera to have a slightly better one.
Mm-hmm. And they did upgrade the front camera as well.
720.
Yeah, I know that was... So, I think they found that most people use the front one. You know, if anybody uses it, primarily what they're using is the FaceTime camera. So, yeah.
But also, I mean, there's not much of a knowledge out there, but there's nothing that implies the RAM has been updated. And after all, when you're using a machine like that, processor speed is wonderful, but what makes all the difference is RAM. And I don't think that's been touched. So, you know, as an update, it's an iPhone, new iPhone S, you know, if that makes sense. But, I really do feel, other than the fact that they wanted to get people onto this new connector, they may have slightly shot themselves in the foot, but, you know, I'm not sure they particularly care either, so...
That's an interesting theory, though. I was just pleased when they finally... that the iPad event finally fell in October, so that the holiday season was something that Apple was finally sort of copping to. I always thought that Macworld should have been in October, because then the new hardware would be out for everybody before Christmas, as opposed to a couple of weeks after Christmas when everybody is broke and bummed about it, and now Apple rolls out this new machine. Because that used to be kind of, was we're going to release new hardware every January, and that's just not fair to some people. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And I don't know. I didn't get to hear all of the earnings call yesterday. I will point that out. Over 5 million iPhone 5's opening weekend. So I don't know how many... I don't know what selling very well that you were talking about. So I'm curious. I'm curious to see how the Mini will do. Primarily, we're looking for something smaller, and maybe their options were a Nexus or the Kindle Fire. And I wonder... how many of those people are going to go, well, I already have a big iPad, so I might as well get the little one for the kids or whatever else. Now, I was wrong in color, if I recall, that I said they were going to come in colors like the iPods do.
Yeah, that was I was so sure that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
I really like the idea of that.
Yeah. But it's
I don't either, but as soon as you said it, I was like, yeah, I want one that's blue, or I want one that's red.
See, what you're forgetting is if they paint the thing blue, red, green, purple, or whatever, then you're not going to go and buy a cover, because it's already got some identity that's special to you. So what you do, they also charge £35 for a new blue, green, red, yellow, whatever possible you could find cover. And that's an extra £35 on top.
It's true.
Because I don't know anyone that's got their iPod touches or anything in a cover, because it's whatever colour it is your identity. It's what, you know, how you want the world to see you with your lime green, pink, striped, you know, whatever it is, iPod. So now there's a little bit more money to be made.
Now, you did mention the smart cover. I'm going to pop mine off my iPad here and show it off, because there was something very interesting to me about the smart covers that they showed in that little product, that this bit is gone now. There's no more metal hinge, which I thought was exciting. I looked at it when they originally posted the little product video and showed the cover wrapping around, and oh, that's interesting. I wonder, and I haven't noticed that they've been updated for the full-size iPad yet, but I think it's interesting that it's one solid piece of polyurethane or whatever it is, or leather, that wraps around with then the magnets on it, because I think that's very nice, because every once in a while I have to pull off my cover and sort of rub the little bits, you know, that have rubbed up against each other off of... you know, the little black marks off of my iPad. So,
sure.
I mean, does that seem like an upgrade to you guys?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I personally, what it is, it's like a, I don't know what the word is. Evolution, because of they had that. Then they went to the one that I use, which is the it's like the all round cover, which obviously hasn't got that big metal bracket on it either. And now this is sort of the evolution, because of once you've got that all round cover, the horrible metal bit is, you know, it's really unsightly and it actually gets in the way. Mm-hmm. So it made sense to find a way to sort of go. They had their Mark 1, which was the one you're using, Mark 2, which is the one I'm using, and Mark 3 is the hybrid that makes some sort of sense. It was massively overkill, that you know, that enormous hinge thing, and quite ugly and obtrusive at the same time. So, you know, they had their opportunity. It was a good time to launch it as well, because of what they did with the other cover. It wasn't launched in any way. It just happened to be in the shop when I was looking for a cover, and they said, oh, well, if you don't like the sticking out metally bit, how about one of these? And so, you know, it was actually a good thing to do, because there's a lot of people with covers like yours that might actually update it or upgrade the cover itself because of the old
one. And I didn't realize that was an option, or I totally would.
No, well, the old one is a nuisance. I mean, I've got, you know, the one I've got, it was put in the cover the moment it came out the box, and you know, maybe when I give it to my children, I might take it out of the cover, but that's the only time it's ever coming off. With with this other one, it's sort of neither on or off at any time, is it? It's sort of just there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a cover.
I just want to see what the cover that you have.
Sorry?
I want to see the cover that you have on yours, because I want to know,
you know,
how
what?
It's different from mine.
I didn't know where my pad is. I thought it was on my desk, and I went to pick it up about 30 seconds ago, and it wasn't. So if there's a really nice break in here, if one of you is, you know, doing a soliloquy or something, I'll sneak into another room and see if I can find it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pull up the earnings results, and we can run through some numbers. So if you want to skip the numbers bit, that's no problem. Let's see. Let me see if I can. So we had the event yesterday. Let's go around and ask you guys, who's ordering a mini? An iPad mini? Or has already ordered one? Any of you guys?
I thought I was going to. I thought I would do that. And then after the event, I changed my mind. And I decided I would have taken it. So I was ready. I was ready. Because I'm still on the iPad 1. We've still got the iPad 1, which doesn't get a lot of use in the house, I must admit. It's kind of stopped being the as kind of the go-to device, and been relegated to being in the car, really. So I thought, well, I'm not going to go for an iPad 3 because it's pretty expensive. I'll probably get an iPad mini because I can justify that amount of money. It hit us with the price. I changed my mind on the spot, and I thought...
Okay. Producer Joe, how about you?
I have a big boy iPad. I have the iPad 3. And the iPad mini is just a smaller iPad 2 specs-wise, so I don't see why I would go there.
Okay.
And we know what Alex did.
He's Alex.
Yeah, I've got this really old, 17-day-old iPad. It's just crap. It's really slow. It's really outdated.
Sorry, ancient thing.
Yeah, look. So it sits in very tight. I don't know how to do this. I'm a photographer and I have no idea. So it sits in really tightly and snugly into this coffin type thing.
Now, is this sort of like the first generation iPad's smart cover with the fueled edges?
No. Well, yeah, it goes around, but the thing is the whole thing is encased really... I mean, this is actually quite a strong case around the back. I haven't tried jumping on it to see if it could take my ample weight, but, you know, it probably wouldn't like it. But it's actually a very, very snug fit. It's actually quite strong. And to be honest, I do tend to fling it across. It's got that feel of, you know, if you throw it across the table to someone, it won't break. I mean, it probably will eventually. And then I have to get a new iPad. And that's probably 3 weeks. That'll be 3 weeks' time when they launch the new iPad. But I mean, I'm quite happy with the case. The stand bit, I don't reckon is going to last very long. To be honest, just sort of fold it into funny shapes, and so, you know, watch a video or give my age away, watching something on it. But you know, while it's okay, it's okay. But it's got that feel of an old Britannica book cover that, you know, if you keep bending it and opening it too many times, it's going to fall in half. But as for protection, it's great. And
I like the look of this case.
It makes that lovely clicking noise when you flick it down, yes. So, yeah, it's almost bulletproof. That's how it feels. I'll shoot it later and I'll let you know.
The case is $9, for those who are curious. You can get the case laser engraved, which I did not know.
Really?
Until right now. I have
no idea.
That's interesting. Although I like the idea that they offer that, because I know one thing that I looked at when I was looking at something to cover the back of mine, because I wanted a red smart cover. It's a long story, but I really wanted the red one. And I wasn't really entertaining the idea of a full, because my iPad is engraved and I wanted it to be visible. And so there were only certain things I was really interested in looking at, because I wanted to be able to see through the back to kind of show that off. So I like the idea that they will engrave the case for you. I'm going to have to look at these, because this looks interesting. I haven't seen anybody with one of these. I've only seen like the first generation one from Apple for the first generation iPad that only came in sort of a black and had that thick edge around it where it was seamed together, and it wasn't that neat.
No, I mean, it does the job. I'm sure it does exactly what it's supposed to do. But again, you know, it's a cover. But, you know, this rolling over and standing up thing, one of the things I'd like them to invent, which, again, you know, it's like the kickstand that's in the new whatever that thing by that other company that we don't talk about is called. I'm sure it's not beyond the wit of the geniuses at Apple to be able to make a cover that not only does that very nicely, sits back in landscape to watch a movie, it would be really nice to be able to sit nice and comfortably in portrait. Because I don't read in landscape, but, well, you know, when you're sitting down, I'm still having to prop up this thing on something, or it's bolt upright because you can just barely stand it on the sort of edge bit if you're careful to stand upright. It really does need a reading position. And whether that's sort of an inbuilt hinge like these other people who shall remain nameless use, or, you know, something else, it really does, I feel, you know, the cover needs to do slightly more than it does.
Okay, Happy Mac, how about you?
I was going to say, don't know, because I've got the cover. We've just got the stupid old iPad. As I said, I'm still living in 1853.
But so yours doesn't have 3G, it has two cans and string?
It does, yes. Yes, I'm a great believer in the old ways. And I believe that the FBI can't hack into a two cans and a bit of string phone line yet. So
yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I was going to sort of move on and say that I was thinking back about the keynote, and I'd completely forgotten that they'd launched the 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro.
Oh, no, we were going to get there.
I was thinking, what did they release? They released the Mini, Mac Mini, that was really good. The iPad Mini was really good. And then there was, and I thought, oh, and this 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro. Why is that not so
Is it a fantastic
product?
I want it to be. It would be the machine for me. I always wondered when they released the original Retina machine. My question was, why wasn't it a 13-inch machine? They've always talked about how the 13-inch machine is the one that is the most popular. When they talk about the laptops, you know, generally like the enterprise and people who use it for business are all 15-inch people. But people who really want portability are all going 13. The number of people I know who have switched all switched from some sort of generally larger thing that runs an OS by those other people. And they switched over and bought a 13-inch machine. And they bought a 13-inch MacBook and loved it. The MacBook Pro, whatever it is. Mine is the unibody MacBook. I have the one metal body that says MacBook on it instead of MacBook Pro. So I was really excited about a 13-inch Retina display. I really wanted it to happen. I wanted it so very badly, and it never looked like it was going to come. So I ended up upgrading mine, popping out the optical drive, moving the rotational drive over there, putting a solid state in the front. And it wasn't too bad. I have one of the ones still that has the removable battery. So dismantling wasn't a big deal on my little mutant MacBook. So I managed to pull it all apart and put it all back together and get some upgrades in it so that I could get at least another year or two out of the machine. And then they came out with exactly the one I wanted right after I did all of this, within like a month or two. So I'm excited about it because I think it's an awesome machine. And the footnote to this is that in trying to convince myself I didn't need the 15-inch one because it never looked like the Retina one was coming, I was like, well, you know, the 15-inch is heavier. It's going to be a heavier machine because it's a bigger machine, so it's going to weigh more. So I'm going to, you know, when I'm looking for portability, I'm going to have to hold out for the 13-inch machine anyway. My mutant little MacBook, or the special edition MacBook, as Joe called it, my computer is heavier than the 15-inch Retina. And that was before I changed all the stuff out at stock, you know, off the shelf. It's actually like a couple of grams. It's not by much, but it's a couple of grams heavier. So then I thought, maybe I really do want a 15-inch. No. I want a 13-inch machine. I want a 13-inch machine. That's exactly the machine for me. It's what I like. It's what I want to carry around. And then I started thinking, well, you know, if I got the 15-inch machine, then the 11-inch Air for super-duper portability would make more sense than if I had a 13-inch machine. I was trying to rejigger it so I could have a new computer, is really what it was coming down to. And now maybe I don't have to. How about you guys? Alex?
Well, I'm a 17-inch MacBook Pro user. I'm the person that everyone thinks doesn't exist. But that's in combination of being a blind photographer, which, you know, the two things don't go together well. But if I'm stuck in a hotel room and I've got to get some work done because there's nothing else to do in the evenings when you're working away, I cannot work on anything smaller than a 17. I mean, it's okay if you've got a picture on it. That's fine. But when you're actually in Photoshop, you've got so many bits and pieces around what you're working on, the tools, etc. 13 is just a no-go. 11, yeah, might as well use the iPad. 15 is really, really, really difficult because once you've got everything around it, you're talking about 10 inches in the middle and you just cannot work in that space. So the 17 for me, I don't think there's any point in bringing out a 17-inch MacBook Pro apart from the fact that you'd need 17 mortgages just to buy it. But I mean, they're very nice things, but I think what they might be making a bit of a mistake in, they're really blurring the lines between the MacBook Pro and the Air. And maybe yes, the MacBook Pro has, you know, it might have far more grunt. It's got, you know, far better graphic capabilities. But once you get down to a size, the usability is such that having that extra grunt in a MacBook Pro is pointless because you can't, you know, the machine's too small to do, for me, it's too small to do video or photography. So I may as well, if I'm going to go small, I might as well have the lighter, cheaper version because I'm not going to be able to do the full grunt things anyway. It's okay if you're sitting there and you've got a Thunderbolt display in front of you. But, you know, I imagine most people that are spending $1,200 on a laptop aren't going to spend another $1,200 on the screen.
That's very true.
Well, I was going on the Apple site, just going through the sort of the tech specs of the boy. I mean, starting at the top, with a 13-inch Retina display in the UK, Apple are asking for £1,449. Which is a lot of money for a 13-inch laptop off the get-go. That's an expensive machine. And you can have one for £1,700, which, again, is an awful lot of money for any laptop, let alone a 13-inch one. I mean, the display, I think, is probably awesome, even more awesome than the 15-inch one, because the resolution, 2560 by 1600 native resolution at 13 inches, is even better than the 15-inch one. And the processors are excellent. I mean, 2.5 Intel Core i5, you know, with the turbo boost thing is great. It's fantastic that they put 8 gigs of RAM onto the machine. I mean, double fantastic, given that that's not user upgradable or even upgradable by anybody at all. And then the storage, 128 gigabytes of flash storage is on a pro machine for £1,600, £1,500.
That's almost two films.
That is the stock storage. I mean, you can configure it up to 768, obviously, just like you could with the 15.
You can nudge it up, and that's something to be pointed out. I mean, that's something that some people have complained about. But remember, there are also people who are going to go, I need a Retina display, and I don't need a whole lot of space. You know, they're rotating things through. They're not necessarily storing a lot of data on that drive.
I think it's overall. I mean, and then you get and the Intel HD graphics. No, you know, I guess there's just not enough room in the box for two graphics cards on the 30.
I was concerned by that. Because you get some slowdowns on the 15-inch Retina. I don't have one, but I know this. And that's a 680 NVIDIA card? I know the screen's smaller on the 13, but I wouldn't like to use that with the HD 4000.
Yeah, I mean, the screen's smaller, but the throughput, because of the resolution, is right. comparable.
It's not
It's going to take exactly the same power. I mean, that really is an issue. The thing, it reminds me of not the very earliest days, but the days where you sort of, to get a Mac Pro, not MacBook Pro, but a Mac Pro that was, you know, had enough grunt to do sort of video and stuff, you were spending sort of £8,000 to £10,000 on the machine.
Right.
And it's sort of going that way with obviously you're not going to spend £8,000 to £10,000, but it's sort of going to the basic model if you want to do, I mean, I wouldn't say basic things because it can do slightly more, but, you know, the basic model is good enough for most people, but if you want something that's really going to be a portable version of a desktop computer, you've really got to spend or bordering them on obscene amounts of money on it. And
of course, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same video on the 13-inch Air as it is on the MacBook Pro. So
yes, exactly. And what's the price differential?
Well, in the UK, you're looking at $1,500 for the 13-inch MacBook Pro, and you're looking at $1,300 for the 1,000 for the 13-inch MacBook Air. Yeah, so a £400 premium for the Retina display.
Yeah.
And some RAM.
Yeah, it just to me seems like an awful lot of money. I mean, there are people out there that will buy it, and you know, if people out there want to buy it, then there's a reason for making it. I just think what worries me is the more they're moving over to this sort of very tight construction, everything on board, things not being upgradable, so we can make it smaller, slimmer, and, you know, more prestigious. They're going to get to the point, as in with the Mac Pro, where you know, you either use an older machine. Well, basically, that's the answer. You have to use an older machine. Or will they stop making what I call Mac Pro or MacBook Pros now, which have got all the grunt? Are they going to make a 17-inch for people with, you know, actual use for something? I don't care if my 17-inch MacBook Pro weighs, well, I don't want it to weigh 10 stone, but, you know, I don't care what it weighs within reason. I just need something with enough oomph, enough RAM, enough hard drive, enough of everything to use it as a portable desktop. And what I feel they're doing is they are making some beautiful machines. They are really, really clever, and they're really, really beautiful. But they're not, I do have an objection to the word pro being tagged onto the end of these things. Because they're pro in price, the design is pro plus. It's amazing. Right. That sounds like a drug, doesn't it? But it's amazing. But the actual use for my case, I mean, I have had people shout at me about it. In my use case, the screen is too small. It's a beautiful screen, but I've got to be 3 inches away from it to be able to make any use of it. It doesn't matter how sharp it is. Sharp and half an inch small is not as good to me as slightly fuzzier but 2 inches tall. It's just the fact of, you know, using it. If you're consuming from the device, then having a very sharp small screen is wonderful. If you're working on a device, it's a slightly different thing.
I mean, ever since the one that Kelly mentioned in 2009, the 13-inch MacBook Pro was introduced, there has been a consumerization of the Pro line of MacBooks, and you know that because at the end of the TV ad for this new one, it says, for the Pro and all of us. So they're really trying to push the Pro machines on everyone. Like, in the past, when did they advertise the Pro model on TV? Never.
Yeah, never. Mm.
Right.
Look at the Mac Pro. Was there ever an ad for a Mac Pro?
Nope.
Ever, well, in any format?
It's honestly, it's getting to the stage with Mac Pro that, you know, they should just build some peripherals that you can bolt on yourself. Look, we're not going to update this, but we'll give you something that you can stick a Thunderbolt drive in. Here's a slot. Stick it in. That'll do. You know, it's the best you're going to get. Something's got to give.
I think that's the show title right there.
No, I mean, I believe it, definitely.
But I think looking at the next sort of load of kit that they chucked at us, and perhaps, you know, out of all the things that they announced, the bit that I thought was the most compelling and the most impressive launch, I think, which is the iMac, which is just, it's a lovely machine, and I can't imagine how many of those they're going to sell. I just can't imagine, but they're going to sell a lot of them. And I think that if you look at the specs of particularly the 27-inch iMac with the RAM and things, what you've got there in the 27-inch iMac is next year's Mac Pro. That is the Pro machine. That's what they want you to have.
Mm-hmm.
Thunderbolt, anything you want in a Pro line to connect to it on your desk is going to go through the Thunderbolt port. The screen's there. You can stick as much RAM as you need into it, and that's it. That's the Pro machine. The 21.5-inch iMac, that's the consumer desktop, not upgradable, in line with the rest of Apple's current philosophy.
Right. So that's kind of the problem I've had with the new line, is as much as I covet that and as pleasing as it is to me to want the new machine and go, ooh, but it's faster and it's prettier and it's lighter and all those things. When I first bought mine, I couldn't afford to get the memory for it that I wanted to put in. It's a maximum of 8. So I got it with 4, and then like a year later, I was able to swap out the 4 for 8. And then, you know, like I said, a few months ago, I was able to go in and pop out the hard drive and pop in a new one and take out the optical drive and you know, rotate all that stuff around. And I don't think that's going to be an option on my next machine. And my next machine is going to cost me about, you know, percentage-wise and proportionally, because I didn't buy the entry-level unibody MacBook. I bought like the step up. I bought the middle one. I don't think that's going to be an option for me next time. And so I may end up putting my purchase off even longer so that I can afford to get everything, because I'm not going to be able to go back later and change it, which is how I've managed to get all the life out of the machines that I've had in the past out of them, is being able to do those kind of upgrades. So do you think this should be a concern, or do you think that Apple's attitude is sort of that you should just buy a new machine once you get to the point where that much RAM isn't working for you?
Well, I've bought enough Apple machines I've kept Apple UK going anyway, and every machine I've ever bought has been the absolute top of the range that they do at the time I've gone into the store.
Okay.
Sadly, every time I've bought a very expensive machine within a month, it's not been the most top-of-the-range machine they've got, but that's just my bad timing every time I go and buy an Apple piece of kit. What I feel they really need to do, and it's very un-Apple-esque, but I think it's sort of a way of giving a bit of backwards compatibility back to us, is now they've got Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt has got enough throughput to do virtually anything you want to do. They need to do something that looks maybe like a Drobo, if you like, something small. But in that, it's hardwired that you can put your old, say, PCI cards in it. You can have FireWire 800 in it, and all the conversion is done there. And then it goes back through your Thunderbolt cable. And that way, people like me will be happy. Now, that iMac, to me, is a beautiful piece of kit. I still burn discs, DVDs for my customers. It's my backup. I need to feel that I'm sending them something physical. So basically, if I send them a load of images, I keep backups of the images. If they lose them, I'm not just storing things forever for nothing. You've had a physical copy of something. If you lose it, then you pay me a fee to retrieve. It's always correct, is it? To retrieve it. So I think
I don't
really
know what I'm hearing.
No, it's interesting. Right? Should we all stop and listen? But I feel that it should be an external box that Apple build, which will then be all the upgradable components that you can no longer get in their beautifully physical tiny box. Always put something up there that looks very exciting. But is it Apple made? I can't see. It's got an Apple.
Oh, it's not real.
Okay. No, it's a mock-up that someone did, but I can't
really
remember.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah,
I think who it was. It was like a proposed Mac Pro body, I think.
Like a modular Mac Mini, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, you've got the input and output now. You've got this Thunderbolt. There's obviously Apple need to carry on supporting these items in machines that are unable to physically take them. But I was reading something the other day that if I go and buy one of these new iMacs, and do you know what? It looks so gorgeous, I'm almost tempted just on the looks. I use two FireWire 800 DVD writers, that do, I don't know, LightScribe, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And it's just something I offer because it makes me look slightly more professional than people that really know me know how I am. So I looked at it, and someone said to me, it's about £100 of extra bits and pieces that I need to be able to use my FireWire 800 drives on something that has got Thunderbolt. So it's all the conversions and all the this, that, and the other. So that's an extra $100 or £100 before I start, just to be able to use what I've already got on that machine. So, you know, I just think an external, in the old days, was it called a Kingston hub or something? It was something you plugged into the back of your laptop, and it had all the external ports you could ever want. Now, I really do think Apple need to have some external port connector. It can be really beautiful, and I don't mind paying £200-300 for it, because that's going to extend the longevity of everything I own.
They have one.
Okay.
It's called the Thunderbolt display.
Yes, exactly. So I've got to now spend how many? How much?
Just the £999.
Right. But that, on the Thunderbolt display, what's the inputs on that? It's got loads of lovely Thunderbolt serial outputs, but what's the inputs? Does it have FireWire 800?
I think so.
Okay. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt because you're a very nice young lad. But I just think it's something that needs to be looked at to be able to, you know, something that gives us, you know, maybe the more pro end of the market, the ability to continue using what, let's face it, we frankly spent far more on the peripherals that go into our Macs than we do on our Macs. You know, one of my lenses costs me more than an iMac. But, you know, to be able to use that attached to the camera and get into it and do this, that, and the other, it's no use. I need to be able to burn discs. I don't use, because there's something DHM said to me years ago, on the Mac I'm using now, I've never put a disc in the internal reader, or whatever you call it, the internal DVD drive on this iMac, because of something DHM said to me one night in a pub. I thought, you know what, I really don't need to blow this hard drive up. Not this hard drive, this drive up. So I've never used it. And I'm quite happy not to use it, but I just need the ability to be able to plug all the weird and wonderful things I've got. All the video cameras I've got are...
Yeah.
I haven't got a video camera that's got Thunderbolt on it, and to be honest, I don't think I could afford one that might. So, you know, just something that I'd like looked into.
All right, so I think we will move on to picks, and I want to go first, and I will show you my pick right here on my phone. I have an iPhone app that I am picking, which is all the new hotness amongst the nerds. So if you know any of them, here you go. I will show it to you. It's called Letterpress. Letterpress is the new game from 8-Bits. Lauren Brichter, who originally brought us Tweety, has brought us this new game. It's this weird... I guess it's not weird. It's fun, but it's this mashup of, like, Go and Scrabble. And so you have to get your letters, and it's a plus and minus point system, and you have to use all the letters in the grid, but it's not all the letters in the alphabet. It's very cool. It's free, and the in-app purchase for it is $1. And right now, I don't even remember what the number is. I think I have something like 14 games going at the moment. I had a hard time with it yesterday loading properly for me, so I'm a little bit behind. But it's fun, and if you can catch somebody who's on at the same time as you, the back and forth of it is really great. You can use the letters in any area. It's not like Boggle where you have to complete a straight line or anything like that. And it's ridiculously fun. That's how I ended up with 15 games going. And it uses Game Center, so you can invite your Game Center friends to play. And I have spent more time managing Game Center in the last 3 days than in the entire rest of the time that Game Center has existed before that. So that's my pick, is Letterpress, and you guys should go check it out. And if you want to play, you can find me over there. Dr. Professor Happy Mac. Sergeant, sir, or
sir.
Something.
Matey. Actually, weirdly, we didn't get to, out of all of the things that Apple did go over and talk about at the event, and we got up to the iMac, and my pick of the week is the one that we didn't get to, or didn't get to yet, or probably didn't get to, because the poor unloved Mac Mini.
Oh, so cute!
My pick of the week was one of the early, when I had a bigger studio, we had a Mac Minis replaced G4 desktops for the designers, and they were just, I always had a soft spot for the Mac Mini from then, because they were just, they just carried on. They were not very stressed machines. They did what they needed to do, and everyone worked on them, and they were great. And then they kind of became a bit unloved. But given the price and the thing that Apple are asking for all the other stuff, $499 for the Mac Mini in the UK, at the speed and the technical specs that they now give you with the processors and the RAM, that's my machine. If I was going to go and buy any Mac out of the range without any misgivings, it would be the Mac Mini.
Now, I will point out that we were talking about upgradability earlier, and one nice thing about the Mini is that you just unscrew the bottom, and you can pop out the RAM and put in new RAM if you need to upgrade it. So it does have that option going for it. You undo it.
Which is nice.
You undo it, and the memory's right there. So if you do need to give that a nudge, you can. And I think that there will probably end up being one at my house sooner than later. Mr. Kelly is finally at the point where he may consider switching sides. He has seen the light and was really just sort of waiting for there to be a little more oomph in the machine. And so now there is. And so
you mean
there's an excellent...
down.
A little of that too, but also we share a lot of hardware, like connecting the camera to the computer to get the pictures off, and shooting, like editing, like basic video editing, basic photo editing. I didn't have to buy anything extra to do all that with my computer, and it's always been an extra layer of gyration for him to have to be able to do anything. And so he's finally at the point where he's kind of given up on Windows, and now that he has the option to run it if he needs to, which for QuickBooks he kind of does, and for a couple of other things on Windows that he would kind of require, he's ready to ditch it and spend the rest of his time on an OS like I have, because I don't have problems with it like what he does. So that's pretty, for me, that's very exciting. I also like that they are keeping the Mini around for people who want a desktop but already have a display, because I think that's a whole lot of people who have that and don't necessarily – because remember when the Mini was introduced, it was a switching machine. It was you already have a keyboard, you already have a mouse, you already have a monitor. So all you have to do is swap out that giant ugly tower thing that you've got from Windows and replace it with this cute little silver box and you'll be all set. And now you're a Mac user. And I think that that's the thing that is keeping this here. It's the reason it's a reasonable price. But I also like that they are adding Lion Server as an option and giving you the chance at the beefier version for people who need a server but don't necessarily need an X-Serve in order to get it done.
And, of course, so. It still has FireWire 800.
Yeah.
Alex.
Also, plus
classic
Alex.
Piece of kit, that. Mm. Yeah, the last time I did anything on a Mac Mini, as in not use it, someone said to me, can you just upgrade the RAM on my Mac Mini? And there's me going, yeah, of course I can. They didn't tell me it was one of the it was the first Intel generation.
Putty knife.
I did it, but what was it called? Operation? You know that when you're sort of going into something and you don't want to touch anything in case the buzzer goes off?
Yes.
It felt like that. And I was like, putting it back together and thinking, right, which aerial went where and what was this spring for? And you know what?
And
I put it back together.
Fan?
And it went click. And I thought, that's an interesting noise. I put it all back together. I couldn't get anything to work. And I just thought, oh, I don't know, what am I going to say? I realised I hadn't plugged the bloody thing in. Plugged it in. I tell you, I had about 10 minutes of thinking, right, how do I get one of these off of eBay without the person knowing that I've blown it up? And then I noticed, because I'm not normally that good. I don't normally actually remember to unplug something before I take the top off and stick my fingers and a screwdriver inside it. But for some reason, I did it right. But anyway, that first Intel Mac Mini was scary.
It really was. I remember having to pry a couple open, so I know of what you speak. Joe, how about you? What do you got for us?
It's a real shame that Don isn't here, because he's like probably the biggest user of this product. ScreenFlow from Telestream in the new version.
Yeah?
Did you see this?
No.
So the new version, it looks fantastic. It's ScreenFlow, for those of you who don't know, it's basically a screen capture utility. But it goes far beyond that. It's got a fantastic editor built in. And really what they've done with this new version is they've added on to the capabilities of that editor. You know, they have all kinds of new features like chroma key, shortcuts and stuff and such. And it looks really great. There's smaller updates to it like Retina display support, etc. But I don't know if any of you have used it before, but it's really fantastic.
Well, it definitely sounds like something I should start doing. I do know that for the day job, some short screencast things that we're going to have to record. So I've been looking for something, and it sounds like ScreenFlow might be the way to go for that. So let's start at the top. Joe, where can we find you? I gave everybody a plug before. And also, I don't have like ad copy or anything like that for UK2. So if you want to give them the love note, please go ahead.
Did we do Alex's pick?
Oh, Alex! No!
That's all right.
We didn't.
That's all right.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll
do my normal Ewan. You were here very late. I don't want to jump on you, but you've got anything. Yeah, I have actually, Ewan. Would you like me to give you it now? Yeah, that would be great. Okay. Very simply, it's got me out of trouble recently, is send to Kindle. Now, whether you like Amazon or Kindles, or whether they've stolen your entire purchase history because of they thought that you were a no good person, you might still need to get things onto your Kindle and all your Kindle devices that you didn't actually buy from the Amazon store. Now, I bought a book recently, a Kindle version of a book from a third party, completely legally, you know, via the internet, because it was half the price that it was on Amazon. And I was having real trouble getting it. I could get it onto one Kindle machine, or I don't know what it was. It might have been Kindle or on iPad. And I just couldn't get it to sync across. I tried everything. I tried the emailing it to myself, nothing. And I noticed the free piece of software that Amazon do for all devices, and it's called Send to Kindle. You just load it up, on whatever machine you want. Drag and drop. There you go. It adds it to your Kindle account, and it whisper syncs to everything. Brilliant bit of kit. And it also means you don't actually have to use Kindle books. You can add other things like PDFs as... I can't think what they call it. They don't call it books, do they? It's the other section they have on your Kindle.
Documents,
yeah. So, I mean, I've got PDF books that I've been using for ages, especially, technical books. Dropped them in there, and it just synced it to all my Kindle devices as documents, and every one of them's working beautifully. Free bit of software, send to Kindle. Anyone that's got anything Kindle, it's worth having on any machine you've got.
Win.
That's win. Fantastic.
I don't know what win means, but I'm really glad you said it.
I've been taking lessons from my daughter, who last week explained that everything I say is automatically not cool. But I've been taking cool lessons.
Oh, is that the new de rigueur phrase? I've just said de rigueur, which proves
so I guess
cool.
I think I've even I'd probably stumbled across win as the.
Okay, oh, I haven't. So there you go. UK2. Okay, UK2, they supply all the bandwidth for all the shows on this network. I can't remember any of the user codes, but please go to
UK2. British Tech DNS, I believe. And then you save all the money on the DNS transfer, and you just have to pay for the actual domain name. I believe.
So... we love them, and you guys should love them too, because without them, there's no us. And I'm partial to us, so that's part of why I'm partial to them. And if I like that Joe is nodding enthusiastically in the corner of my screen. So definitely, I would say if you have an opportunity, if it's a place where you are, you have that good idea for that new site for stuff dedicated to, you know, you're going to assemble a site dedicated to all those new iPad mini cases. Go there, register your site, get it set up. You'll have everything done in no time, and it'll be fantastic. And sure. You absolutely should, because, like I said, without them, there's no us. And we like us. And if you're here at what I think is a really... early hour on a Friday morning. I started at 7:30 this morning with you guys.
We're just signing off in 10 minutes and going down the pub.
I know, and I one day I will join you. I will show up in the morning and sit down with my beer and sit and hang out with you guys. But yeah, it's worth it to me to come hang out with all of you guys. And so, if it's worth it to you to come hang out here as well, then definitely go check out UK2 and kick them some cash, because without them. There's very little we can do for the show. Very little.
So go to our homepage. There's a sponsors link at the top. That'll give you all the bits and pieces you need to know. And if you wouldn't mind clicking through via our homepage on the UK2 .net hosting sign, then they'll know we're sending you. And, they'll treat you well. Look, I'm a complete idiot when it comes to all this. And if DHM isn't there to answer my questions, I just go on to live chat with UK2, various people, all of which have accommodated my stupidity lovely and well. And one of them, I asked so many questions. He said, look, do you mind if I have access to your site? And I said, please do. And he just fixed the code for me. He went in there and rewrote it for me. And I was like, I couldn't get it to work. He fixed it. He said, that's what you needed. And he emailed me what he did to say, that's what you need to do next time it goes wrong. And I was like, thank you. So that's probably £100 for anywhere else.
Yeah, definitely.
And I didn't pull the I'm on the British Tech thing either. I was just a customer, and he just helped me out, and he was wonderful. So please, do yourselves a favor and go to UK2.
Truly. All right. So, Joe, where can we find you for those who have enjoyed your insight and wish to stalk you digitally?
JonahMax on Twitter. And that's about it, really. Right now, they can find me right above you. To the left or the right of him. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Okay. And Sergeant Professor Dr. Happy Mac?
Yeah, that doesn't work as a username on Twitter. But, yeah, just that Dr. Happy Mac on the Twitters. Or you could just email me. People do. A helpful styly. Yeah. Email. If they just email help@drhappymac.co.uk with a question, then at least 35% of the time they get an answer.
Oh.
Yeah, an out of office reply.
So drop me an email if you want to chat on the emails, or Twitter if you want to listen to what I have been told is becoming an increasingly grumpy Twitter stream. And
oh,
I perhaps should change that.
Yes. Yep. Go post pictures of puppies or something.
No. And you would have to, if I do that, you have to kill me on the spot.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Alex, how about you?
I'm on Twitter as well, thanks to Ewan. It's Alex G. Fox on Twitter, and I'm going to make a quick announcement. I do give Apple a bashing now and again, but I've got to admit, half the time I do it purely to redress the balance of some of the slightly over the top. They can do no wrong. I think we all need to keep everyone on their toes, including Apple. So if you think I'm being a bit harsh, maybe just think about what I'm saying rather than being incredibly rude and tell me that I should go and dig a hole and jump in it. But I love Apple as much as everyone else do. But I like my children. I don't let them just run riot. Every now and again, you've got to pull them up and say, hey, think about what you're doing. So that's my role in life.
And like your children, they will completely ignore you.
Exactly. And cost me a bloody fortune at the same time. You're right, you know. Apple are my children.
Wow. That analogy just works all the way down, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, and you can find me on the Tweety Box as Verso. And I've been your host for today's show, Kelly Gaumont, sitting in for Ewan. You can also find me on other shows, not in a video capacity, but if you can't get enough of listening to me talk, you can hear me on TUAW on the Tua Talk Cast, which is recorded on Sunday evenings, U.S. time. You can also find me as an occasional guest host on Angry Mac Bastards and an occasional panelist on the International Mac Podcast.
Now, they're grumpy. They are grumpy.
No, they're not grumpy at all. They've gone straight to angry.
Yes, they have blown through grumpy, haven't they?
Yeah, blown past
grumpy.
Now,
that sounds wrong. I do apologize. And if anyone's going to edit anything from this show, that's a line that you can edit.
So,
I think it's a bit
blown
like the...
grumpy.
Past grumpy, straight through cranky, and all the way to angry. And it's actually a fun show to do because... They do take down some of the people who are actively anti-Apple for no good reason, sort of the opposite of Alex, who has a good reason for sort of trying to hold them accountable for things that they're doing. So it's fun to do that show, and also swearing. So there is that.
There is swearing, yes.
Yes, and it shouldn't surprise you since it's called Angry Mac Bastards. So I'll just... that out there. So I think that's going to do it for today. I hope you guys have enjoyed it, and we will see you all next week.
Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.